Well, good morning, everyone. Here we are again live on our daily broadcast. And I am pleased to be home again. I was on a short trip to California. Got to see some friends, also deal with some family relations, experiences, and some good times with that, but also some serious times with dealing with with my cousin that stepped through the veil and is with Jesus today. So we went through that part of the spiritual process of saying goodbye and celebrating and comforting and just the witness of knowing that we are connected eternally with our loved ones, even though they're not on this side of the veil. So that's what went on with me last week. I got home late last night, and I love the technology that doesn't want to cooperate with you when you want it to. So here we are. Thank you for stopping by. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about the spiritual side of life and the natural side of life, the practical applications of why we are a spiritual person or spiritual beings. One of the historic tragedies that has happened in our church history is that they have separated spiritual life with natural life. And we find it in the modern church. We have in a typical church, and I've had my hands on one for a long time. 20%, maybe 10% of the people function and operate and make it work and are involved. Rest of the people come, love God. They're, you know, they want to go to heaven. They don't want to break the rules so much as best they can. You know, they're living their life, but really spiritual people, if you're going to be spiritual, you can't be a natural person. I've got to work. So you go to church, I'll work. Well, that's a simplification perhaps, or a simple view of what really goes on in the Middle Ages. They literally separated to the monasteries, to the convents, in a cave somewhere where a mystic would spend, you know, their life hid away, because they had this whole concept that you couldn't be in the natural world and be a spiritual person. Well, that's not true. You and I are proving that, right? Well, what's the benefit? What's the fallout, as it were? What's the benefit of a spiritual life if it's not manifested in a practical, natural expression? You and I, in the last years, especially since the charismatic begin to, touch and infiltrate and affect our world more than it used to. The charismatic experience really went into the culture in taking the gospel to the business people, taking the gospel on the different levels of society. I think more than Pentecost in my experience. My experience of Pentecost, because I was raised in the 40s, 50s, and so forth, kind of went into the building, into the church. We stayed away from, especially in the early days, stayed away from television. We didn't go on television, didn't go on radio, because it was kind of worldly. Now, our spiritual leaders started to, and they broke through. I remember when Oral Roberts went on television. Boy, that was a big deal. And some of the other men and women of God that were, quote unquote faith healers or faith evangelists, you know, healing evangelists, they started to go on the radio and television. Well, that was a breaking into the natural world with spiritual things. But let's boil that down or bring it down to a more of a common denominator. Our life, not ministry, not, conquer the world or win the nation, but just our life, our family, our world, spirituality, and natural living. What do you think? Let it roll for a moment. I know this is bad media, but just take a moment now to think about the spiritual man being applied to the natural life. It shows up in our language. It shows up in our honesty. It shows up in our punctuality. It shows up in our finances for being honest and disciplined. It shows up even in our health standards so that we take care of our body and not abuse it through overeating or overindulging anything that's going to harm it, because our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's the spiritual application to a natural world. So I go to church. I'm an elder, I'm a deacon, I'm a pastor, I'm a church member. And I sing and speak and have church speak. But when I go out on the job, I have job speak, which is hard language, and I'm just a natural, voice. Well, not so. Shouldn't be that way. That doesn't mean we do church speak in the job, but we certainly have a mouth and language that is edifying, encouraging, reflects our heart, which is we love people. And we are appreciative of what they are to us. I'm talking on the job now, because I'm thinking through the mind now of a man that leaves the church pew, goes out and has to slug it out with that in that natural world. And it's a very real thing. I mean, when you jump out into the natural world, how do you act like a Christian? How do you speak like a Christian and take some of the flack or maybe some of the high eyebrows? But I'll tell you this, if you will allow the Christ life to be exhibited in the natural world, you'll be a magnet. You'll find that favor begins to come to you like you have never had before. If you're not afraid to allow the spiritual life to flow out into the natural life. Now, there's not a formula or a book we read or I give you a list of bullet points or 1, 2, 3. The spirit is the natural side of life in reality. The spiritual life, the man inside, the woman, and the spirit person inside, man or woman, is the natural way to express your life. Now, when we say spiritual natural, I'm using that as a kind of a acronym or a picture of living out in the world or living in the church or in the spiritual side of the church. So I guarantee you there are people around you today that have needs and have hunger and have a brokenness that needs to be healed. And God put you in their life to make that happen, to bring that to pass. We say, how can I do that? I'm not a preacher. I don't have the gifts. I don't even testify much out publicly. But there's something in your spirit that affects them when you walk in the room. when you are dealing with them at the bank, you know, like you're going to do a bank deal and make a contract or borrow money or even go in and put your money in there. When you enter that bank room, well, you'll be able to go back into your bank sometime. I think our bank's just opened. But when you go in there, I tell you, your spirit, if you will just say, Lord, I open the gate of my heart. I just open my window, as it were, and let my spirit come out ahead of me. When I go into a church, when I enter worship, or I do that consciously when I'm in that position, but unconsciously, when I walk into a building, I know my spirit goes ahead of me. Now, let's use the word attitude instead of spirit. Attitude. Now, you mothers know what attitude is. Little Johnny comes home from school and he's got an attitude. And you say, what is going on with you today? Why? Because you felt his attitude come in the door. Now, that's that spiritual climate, spiritual, world that's walking with us. Our spirit's outside of us, by the way. It's not in. That's really doesn't abide just inside. It's really around us. And so when I enter into a worship time, I open my gate up, my as it were, my heart, my spirit, and I say, Lord, I just release the Spirit of God out of my spirit, because it's there. We contain the Spirit of God, don't we? We're not searching for God. We're not trying to find Jesus. We're not trying to hope the Holy Spirit comes. They abide. They abide. That's the whole, anxious thing in worship, in a lot of our worship services. Oh, God, come. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Come on, folks. He's here. They're there. They abide, and they will never leave. So when you come into a situation, release that into that house. What did the scripture say? When you enter a house, may the peace of God come on this. What are you doing? You're releasing that thing into the house. When you enter a business, when you enter a church, when you enter a relationship, when you're communicating and having fellowship, let your spirit just flow out. That's the spiritual, practical side of spiritual life and natural living. And I tell you, when we begin to grasp a hold of the impact that we are and who we are and what it means to be a spiritual person, we're not going to hide in the shadows and be intimidated of our testimony and worry that we're going to be criticized or, somebody raise their eyebrows at us like we're kooks. Come on. We are the salt and the light of this world. And whether they know it, admit it or not, we are keeping the thing alive. Now, I say this once in a while. I haven't said it for a bit, but here we are. We're the earthworms of this earth. We are the earthworms of this world. Now, what in the world does that mean? My grandfather was a great farmer, and he just loved to raise things. But I went over there one day when I was a teenager, and he had this great big container he had built out there, and there was dirt in there. And he had earthworms in there, and they were the cultivators. If you don't have an earthworm in your ground, it turns stone hard and you can't raise a thing. Underneath your lawn, if it's growing, you have multiplied earthworms working that ground, tunneling, moving around. We are the earthworms of earth. It's called salt and light. We keep it alive. So don't you be intimidated. Don't you hide your head. You are the savor, not just the savior, but the savor, the flavor of your world. And I encourage you to press into your testimony. Let your testimony be exhibited. Let your testimony be out front. Don't be intimidated to tell your story. I love that term. Sat with a friend yesterday, or the day before, I guess it was Monday. And he said, "Tell me your story." I thought that I love that slogan. Tell me your story. That's a testimony of what God has done in my life. What God has done in my life. And I want to encourage you to tell your story today. Show it. Exhibit. Be a spiritual influence in your family and in your business and in your church, your world, wherever you are. Isn't that great? Well, thank you for stopping by. I am always excited, in spite of technical difficulties, to come in and speak some words into your life. Don't forget, thank you for thumbs up, liking me on Facebook, and give me a comment. That's a big deal, they tell me. And send me a note. Let me know who you are and what God's doing in your life. I'd just love to hear from you. Thank you for your support. Some of you have been nudged by the Lord to send us a financial gift. We receive it, put it in the gas tank, and shoot on down the road. Amen. Well, until tomorrow, we will see you and love you all that time. In Jesus' name, God bless.